A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What you think you run right now?
Oh, shit. I don't even know. I wouldn't even know if I could make it 40 yards. I might pull both calves, a hamstring, a quad. Ain't no telling. He was on that super pack and got him a sub 5. I wasn't even mad at that. In his 50s, that boy was moving. Welcome back. Unplugged. Jack, what's good?
Coolin', my brother. How you?
Man, I can't call it, man. Just coming off the birthday weekend. You guys come in town tomorrow. Got a good little week out here for our shoot.
What'd you do?
Man, I chilled. I went to UCLA. I happened to have an alumni night. So me, Jelani, some other guys. I think Russell Westbrook showed up. A lot of former and past and present Bruins went out there for the last ever Pac-12 game. You know, the Pac-12 is what you say is bouncing to the Big Ten now. So went out there, caught up with some people. The O'Bannons were out there. So it was good to kind of catch up, you know, with guys. I mean, shit, they had guys from like John Wooden's team that he coached out there. So it's a lot of history. So I just did that on my birthday, bro. Chill. We've been doing so much shit with the show and the family and moving. It was really just a guys' night. We went out and did that, then grabbed some dinner. It was in bed by 11 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah. Jack, home stretch of the season. They got about 20 games left. We're going to go through something. Buy or sell. See who's really out there doing it and who's out there pretending to do it. Jack, buy or sell that Anthony Edwards is the next American face after the LeBrons and Stephs, KD, retire. You know, there's guys like Booker, Jason Tatum, Paolo, Ja, Zion. Is Anthony Edwards the next American in line to carry that torch?
I would say bye. He's, you still got LeBron and them all in the league right now, but he is a lot of people's favorite player right now while all those guys in the league. And he's mine. But simple fact that he plays on both ends of the ball. None of the stars we talking about play on both ends of the ball. I'm sorry. They're great scorers. They're Hall of Famers. Arguably the best of all time, LeBron. But none of these guys play on both ends of the ball. Anthony Edwards plays on both ends of the ball. He has that Kobe attitude where he's willing to guard the best player at the end of the games. He is old school. I'm definitely buying that. He's definitely my favorite player in the league right now. Not when these guys leave, but right now.
Mm. Yeah, definitely making waves right now. He almost put one down on AD last night. That would have been epic. It's interesting to see. I think that the next face can be a number of faces. I think it could be faces. You know, obviously, Ja is must watch. I still don't think we've seen the best of Zion. Jason Tatum, you know, he fucks around and wins a championship this year. He's only 26 years old. Devin Booker, you know, he's got a lot of games. So I think the next wave of American talent is strong. I think Edwards is right up there in the mix as far as faces or co-faces. But I definitely feel like the NBA is in good hands as we slowly but surely come to the end of, you know, a lot of – and then, you know, they probably still got another 2-3 possibly 4 years left, but you know that there's a new wave on the horizon with a lot of young talent. Like you said, Jack, Anthony Edwards is a lot of people's favorite player now with all those great players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, can Victor Wembanyama win Defensive Player of the Year with the Spurs ranked 24th in defense? And before you answer, his last nine games on the blocks, 10 blocks, 3 blocks, 5 blocks, 5 blocks, 5 blocks, 4 blocks, 5 blocks, 6 blocks, 7 blocks. This dude is a monster. He's putting up offensive numbers as well. But, Jack, can he be a Defensive Player of the Year with his team ranked 24, you know, the bottom third of the league in defense?
Well, I think so. And the reason why I would say he is Defensive Player of the Year, because if you put him on a better team, you're talking about him being Defensive Player of the Year and MVP.
Ooh.
For the way he's playing. Look at his numbers. Mm-hmm. Look at his numbers in his rookie season. So you put him on a team with another guy, two other guys, he's on the best team in the league, averaging the best numbers on both ends of the ball. So I definitely have him being a Defensive Player of the Year. He does so much for his team as far as not having another big guy down there like Cat Williams, like Rudy has Cat. You know, I know Cat hurt right now, but he had Cat to have his back. A lot of times it's just a big fella out there. So what he's doing at a young age, he's still a kid. He's doing it his first year. If he was on a different team, he'll be MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in my mind.
I don't know if Wemby wants Cat Williams out there, but maybe another big. You see,
I mean, whatever. What's his name? Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony.
Yeah, Cat Towns.
I know.
Yeah,
you
Cat.
About.
Big Cat. Yeah.
Did you see? so did you see Cat Williams run his 40 the other day? That shit was a sub 5:40 at like 57 years old. He was moving.
Hey, what you think you run right now?
Oh shit, I don't even know. I wouldn't even know if I could make it 40 yards. I might pull both calves, a hamstring, a quad. Ain't no telling. He was on that super pack and got him a sub 5. I wasn't even mad at that. In his 50s, that boy was moving.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 107. 107.
That's impressive, bro. That's impressive.
Absolutely. But I mean, I agree. I mean, Wemby is special, man. And I think he's living up to what people thought. Obviously, not huge, crazy offensive numbers, but great offensive numbers that what he's been able to do on the defensive end. And then land in a situation like San Antonio. I mean, San Antonio's job now is just to be able to build around him. You know, he's got the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. He's got the discipline. He's got the skill set, got the game. So it's going to be interesting to see what San Antonio could put around him the next few years. But, yeah, I think it's up in the air, man. He's been playing amazing on the defensive end. So we'll have to see. Could this be the first ever with someone who has a bad defensive team but still has a Defensive Player of the Year? Next up, D'Angelo Russell. Trading block D'Angelo Russell has been something different. Since January 1st, he's been averaging 22-6, shooting 45% from the three, really at times carrying the Lakers. You know, I get a chance to see him a lot out here, man. He's been playing really well. He had a quote the other day that said, "Public humiliation has molded me into the killers, to the killer y'all see today. I've never lacked confidence. I've never feel confrontation. I want all the motherfucking smoke. I want to talk about it." So he's been playing really well, Jack. Can we count on this? We haven't necessarily seen it in the playoffs. Can we count on this same person that is doing work now in the playoffs?
Nope. I mean, he's doing great right now. I want to see it in the playoffs. I didn't see it. I haven't seen it. I just don't see him being that big of a mark for this team to get over the hump in the playoffs. Like, you, as you know, Matt, they take stuff away from you. A lot of stuff he's doing right now, they're going to take all that shit away. And I haven't seen him do it in no big moments, in no big games, nowhere. So, yeah, it looked good right now in regular season. But when it count, we'll see if he can show up.
I think that's the biggest key. Can he do it? Last year in the playoffs, he only averaged 13 points a game on 30% shooting from deep. There was times where he didn't even play, you know, because he was a liability on the defensive end too. So, I don't know. I think there was a lot of talk about his play and his consistency leading into the trade deadline, which put him, you know, up for trade consideration, and he woke up. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if that shit can carry on, obviously, through the remainder of the season. But like you said, most importantly, in the playoffs, because they can. I mean, Jack, they were your dark horse last week, and I've been saying the whole entire year, I feel like this team is built for the playoffs. They just have to get there. They've been playing a lot better basketball, and don't be surprised if the Lakers – make a run, but they will need the D'Angelo Russell that's playing right now, because he is definitely an integral part of what they got going on, playing really well, and the team's playing well overall too.
Is Vincent coming back?
I don't know. He might have just took the money and said, "Fuck the world." They're talking about, yeah, he's supposed to come back, so we shall see. We forgot about him. He played really well in Miami for the playoffs, so we'll see.
And if he plays D.
Yeah, see if he comes back. Switching gears right now to the women's game. I saw you post something the other day that you feel like the women's game is bigger than the men's and on the college front, and I would have to agree with you. Big games this past week in South Carolina versus LSU. There was some smoke. Jack, I know you watched the game. What was your evaluation of the overall game and the competitiveness of the game?
Bro, I woke up yesterday. My homeboy called me. The first thing he said, bro, you watching the game today? And both of us said at the same time, yeah, Caitlin played, South Carolina played. We all girl games. We didn't mention one male game, bro. And I love the women's basketball right now. I'm a big fan. I hope I can make some South Carolina games or some LSU games. But I love it, Matt, because you don't see passion like that in men's games no more. Like, obviously, you don't want to see the fighting and stuff like that. But the bumping and the trash talking they was doing, I love that because these girls are becoming real, more and more confident, and they're becoming better in basketball. Their skill level is running through the roof right now. So now they can talk the talk and walk the walk. And you have more than two or three players on the court doing it, right? So I'm excited to see the passion. Obviously, you don't want people jumping over the stands and guys. Flage, tell your brother to chill out, okay? You're not jumping over there to hit no girl, bro. Chill out. It wasn't a man on the court, bro. And now you're going to have to watch all the games from a bar nearby because you'll never be allowed in there again, bro.
Forever,
bro. Yeah. But what was – bro, you're not going to hit no woman, so stay in your seat. But anyway, I like the emotions. I hate that South Carolina Center going to miss the first game of the playoffs but a tournament, but they still can win that. Mm-hmm. But just the passion of the game and to see these two great teams, two great players go at it in women's basketball, I loved it, man. I loved it. Don Staley is my favorite player of all time, so I'm a big fan of Don Staley.
So what did you think, speaking of Don Staley, about the two coaches' kind of take on it? You know, Don Staley was really kind of apologetic and kind of felt it took away from, you know, what those girls were accomplishing on the court. You know, sometimes emotions get ahead of themselves, you know, we get ahead of our emotions and, you know, some shit happens. And then on the flip side, the LSU coach said, you know, it's not a good look. No one wants to be a part of that, but she wishes that, how do you say the girl's last name?
Cardoza.
That Cardoza would have pushed Angel Reese instead of Flauge. So two different takes. I felt like if Don Staley would have said that, they would have been on her ass, but Don Staley took the high road and said, you know, she wants it to be about the game and not necessarily what happened, you know, in that one little ugly moment. But then the LSU coach, Kim, went on and talking about push someone your own size. So thoughts on kind of the coaches.
You know, Don don't even allow her players to throw up peace signs in their pitches, right? She don't let them, no hand gestures. Like, we're going to be professional. We're doing this the right way. Because if she taught that, that's what they're expecting. They're expecting Don to have these girls out there on some ghetto shit. You know what I'm saying? And I love the fact that she has a team full of black women, that she teaching them to do it the right way. It's about the game. She lead them the right way. They're the best basketball team. They won 8 out of 10 SEC championships in the last 10 years. So, bro, she's doing it the right way. They can't wait. Like Jelani say, they got their foot out. They got their little foot out there to clip Dawn up too. So she's doing it the right way. She's staying on game and she's watching everything. She handling it the right way. Salute to Dawn Staley.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to salute because, you know, we've been in some shit. And the fact that, you know, she's a former player that's been to the top of the mountain, like you said, she wants to set a precedent with these women and let them know the right and wrong way to move. And you saw immediately after the game, Cardoza issued an apology and on her behalf. So I really like the way, you know, Don is.
Even Flauge.
Yeah, running her shit out, and they spoke as well. But at the end, I'm not mad at a little aggressiveness. Like you said, the shit talking, the level of competitiveness, sometimes that spills over in the game. I'm glad that no one was hurt. Unfortunately, a couple of people are going to be suspended for the first round, but those are both two good teams, so they're not, you know, they'll be able to move on. But I just love, again, the energy around the women's game right now. I saw KG and Paul talking about it on their show. Can you name the top five college men's player right now? And we can't, but we can name, you know.
I can name three, because I coached them all in the Iverson game.
you're one of the very few. I think that says a lot, Jack. We can laugh about it now, but it's always been the men's game and then the women's game. It's particularly in college, but I would definitely have to say that, the women's game is in a really good place right now, and I'm happy for them. And definitely looking forward to the men's tournament, too. I mean, the tournament time, to me, is the best time for basketball during the year, so I'm definitely looking forward to being able to watch both men and women's NCAAs. But, Jack, who is your pick? Let's go on the women's side. Who's your pick to win it all?
Oh, man, I'm going South Carolina. If they stick to the course, if they continue to do what they're doing, they got some young players, Matt. They got the freshman of the year in SEC. And they got a slew of young guards, even the senior, I can't think of her name right now, starts with a P, but she's coming back next year. So I got them winning it, Matt. I think they got a great group of guys. They lost five starters
great group of women, not a great group of guys. Yeah,
great group of women. They lost five starters
to the W
from the team last year in the lottery.
Damn.
And they back undefeated. So that says a lot about this team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, we've talked about Donna and what she's done with this program. I just want to see good. I mean, I want to see Caitlin Clark go out with a bang. I'm a big fan of Angel. I love what Juju's doing out here at USC. I don't know if they're going to have enough to really be able to compete, but I think they're going to mess around and get a one seed. So we'll have to see how SC does. And then, South Carolina's chasing that undefeated championship, man. So it's definitely going to be exciting. Jack, transitioning into boxing. Something we both want to do a little bit in our day. Anthony Joshua, brutal knockout of Francis Ngannou. Forgive the pronunciation. In the second round, Francis has made $30 million in his last two fights, compared to his last MMA fight where he made $600K. So, your thought on him kind of jumping in the deep water off the rip? I kind of respect it. Some people don't like it. You have to respect the craft and the level, but it takes a lot of heart, man, to get in there with these dudes that are been training their whole life to do this. But what was your thought on Ngannou? And Joshua?
I respect Ngannou. He's a fighter, point blank. He feel he had a successful bout against Tyson Fury, and he wanted to really test himself against a guy like Anthony Joshua. And as UFC and boxing is two different things. So somebody that's been training boxing their whole life, Olympian, gold medals and stuff like that, they're going to knock out any UFC fighter that come in there. And UFC has the advantage on the flip side. So, I'm a fan of Ngannou. I'm a fan of Joshua. I kind of felt like I knew how that was going to go because Joshua is just such a pure boxer. He's been doing it for so long. But Ngannou is somebody that can shake up the boxing world, as you've seen him knock down Tyson Fury. So, I'm a boxing fan, so it was good to see, but I just don't see nobody coming from the USC and making a big name in boxing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big jump. It's a big jump, like you said. I mean, that's training your whole life to do something and then switching it up at this point. Obviously, you got to have a lot of respect to get in that ring. But also, in two fights, he's made more $30 million than he's ever made. You know what I mean? And he's been to the top of the mountain in the UFC. So I'm not mad at the crossover. I like to see people taking those chances. But like you said, I mean, it's a 24-hour, 365 job that, these guys got to realize they're going into. And like you said, on the flip side, in the cage, I wouldn't see a boxer doing anything in the cage either because it's just it's so much different. So respect to those guys. Congratulations to Joshua.
Carissa won.
The fight that you – did she? I didn't even see that. I didn't even see Carissa she was on Rose, that card.
No, she won. She in the PFL.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she won her last fight.
Dope. Congratulations.
I feel like basketball players can play any sport. Everybody else can't.
No, I'm at it. I mean, obviously, you've seen, Deion and Bo cross over and play baseball. I think, you've seen a lot of college basketball players who didn't make college basketball jump to the NFL and play tight end. I think there are some crossovers. I think the NBA would be really hard. I mean, you've seen people who thought they could do it. You've seen Roy Jones take his hand in it. You've seen T.O. take his hand in it. Master P had a run you can't be mad at. But it's tough. I mean, the NBA is a tough crossover. It's a very tough crossover. So you've seen it done in other professional rankings, but I don't really know. I don't want to sound like the NBA is, end-all, be-all, but I really haven't seen no one jump from – something else into the NBA. A fight that you're not happy with, Jack. You've been letting know your displeasure about this Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight. on July 20th that you will not be watching, that I'll definitely be tuned into. But Jack, tell me why you're not fucking with this fight. I think it's going to be crazy.
I'm a big Mike Tyson fan. Somebody who I really admire, man, just the ups and downs of his life and how he, you know, made love to the bad times and still here doing big things. I just don't want him to go out there and risk his legacy dealing with a guy like Jake Paul. Because if Jake Paul hit him and knock him out, somebody's going to hurt Jake Paul for real if he knocked Mike Tyson out. And I'm just telling you, but somebody's going to wait outside and hurt him for real. Because now you're making a mockery. You're making a mockery of our legends, dog. You're trying to make a mockery out of our legends, dog. So I ain't with that. This the thing with me, Matt. Salute to Jake Paul for everything he's doing. But it's been 5 to 10 professional boxers your age that's been calling you out. Mm-hmm. So at this point, if you want to be create a circus, then let us know so we can stop watching. But if you're trying to be a boxer, which I don't think you is, I think you just it being an entertainer and making money, I can't hate him for that. But as a boxing fan, I don't want to watch that shit. And I damn sure don't want to see him possibly embarrass Mike Tyson, because I ain't saying he will, but this is boxing. Anything can happen. And Mike is up in age.
Yeah, Mike is pushing 60, if I'm not mistaken. But I still seen Mike move, and Mike is still moving fast and punching hard, boy. Ooh, I mean, I would still be scared if I was Jake Paul getting in that motherfucking ring. I'm not mad at Jake's hustle either. I mean, he's made a shit ton of money doing this.
It's high risk. High risk.
And if he has a plan, I'm not mad. I mean, you got to think, what if he had 8 fights, 9 fights? So, I mean, he's obviously still trying to climb up that ladder. But I would like to one day, like you said, Jack, cross over and see if you're really ready for it. You know, he lost to Fury. But if he's really ready to make that jump. But in the meantime, he's getting a whole lot of money to do what he's doing, man. So I ain't even mad at it. And I'll definitely be tuned in.
Mushin Kasen is 10-0. And he not too far out your weight. And he called you out a couple times. He know a lot of people in your camp. So give Mushin a try. He a real boxer. That's how I seen Rock my little brother. Not the one, not the other one. The one that's a real professional boxer. Come see him.
Mm. We shall see.
Yeah.
But I'll be tuned in July 20th. NBA projects a European Middle Eastern basketball ecosystem that they're going to start building. Jack, I mean, I just think this is a sign of the global games. You know, they got the NBA Africa project that we possibly could be going out and messing with in a couple months. The game is growing. They want to get the game physically played on other continents, so the NBA is starting to put some bread out there to make that happen. What do you think the overall plan with these small steps are for the NBA?
Not just to just say it's a global game, to actually let it be a physically global game where you can see NBA in – 4 different countries and finding at the end of each season, whoever wins in those countries, you're going to end up seeing playing have a real world championship because the NBA going to be in so many different places. So I think that's the aim. They started, like you said, they started Africa. They're doing all these other places. And I think they're trying to get a hold of the talent because there's so much talent everywhere. And I think they're just trying to keep tabs on all this stuff in different places and not have these kids travel so far to be seen. They'll be able to see in their own environment. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested. I mean, I think this is a ways down the road, you know, obviously with your vision and obviously their vision too, you know, eventually of a world dominance. There is a ton of talent now. I mean, you look at our game, you look at the NBA alone, it's head up by a lot of, you know, overseas players, you know, people from across the water. So definitely interesting to see how that plays out. The NCAA is coming to, so the men's college basketball NIL tournament is offering winners up to $2 million of NIL money slated for the upcoming 2025 season. Obviously, this is taking in the footsteps of the in-season tournament with the NBA, but they got some big-name schools, Duke, Kansas, Alabama, Florida Atlantic, Houston, Oregon, San Diego State, Virginia, and Houston have all been in discussions to be a part of that tournament. Jack. We talked about this not too long ago, and part of the reason why the women's game is growing so much is because these young kids don't have to go to college no more. They can go several different routes to, you know, get to their dream destination, which is the league. Is this a kind of a ploy to hopefully lure some more talented kids that normally would go to college back to going to college?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, now you're finally giving these kids a chance to take care of themselves and take care of their family while they're in college, while they can go get a degree and play sports in these colleges. So I think it's a great thing. You know what I'm saying? That gives them an extra incentive to want to go now. You can make the money. You don't have to have a crazy job. You still can get your education. And you can, you know, you can still be a kid. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to jump straight from school and be an adult like we had to do, start paying bills and take care of your whole family at a young age. You still can be a kid and grow in college and make money at the same time. So I love it, Matt.
Yeah, I'm not mad at this. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it, because I still felt like, you know, on top of my long NBA career, I loved college. I had a great time in college. So anything to do to get these kids back going to college, I'm for. Jack, next week, we've come off two big hitters. We have McAfee, move the needle. We have Mike Epps, move the needle. Shout out to both of them. We drop our brother, Bassey. Sebastian Telfair drops this Thursday, Jack. How you feeling about that, sir?
It's a must-see. Y'all know Bassey going to talk his shit. y'all know Bassey going to talk his shit. But, nah, it's a good episode. That's Lil Bro. He got a lot of stuff to say. He has an interesting life, an interesting story. Check the episode out. It's a dope one.
Yeah. Amazing journey. Good dude. You know, looking for what that next act is. So really excited for him to kind of get his face back out there and his name back out there and hopefully do his thing. But you can catch that episode on All the Smoke Productions YouTube and the DraftKings Network. Well, Jack, we're coming to the end. I'll see you tomorrow, I think, or Wednesday. So safe travels.
Yes, my boy.
We're going to be in L.A., you know, with some sun and some tree, enjoying ourselves, continuing to grow the business.
Yep.
You guys know where to find this. Anelios Shoot.
Yep.
We got some good things happening, man. The company's growing by day. Got some cool announcements coming up. Some people, some situations coming underneath the umbrella, man. So life is good, man. So you can catch this Unplugged on All the Smoke Productions YouTube and the DraftKings Network. We'll see y'all next week.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.